From the Way of Truth Ministries in Altoona, Pennsylvania, comes the Living Truth Radio Broadcast. Hi, I'm Jim O'Brien, and it's a delight for us to be invited into your day with another edition of the Living Truth. In a few moments, the founder and president of the Way of Truth Ministries, Dr. Gary Dull, will present another practical study from God's Word, the Bible. To contact us with a prayer request or information about this ministry, I'll return to give our contact information at the end of this broadcast. But now, here's Pastor Gary with his study for today.
Well, thank you, Jim O'Brien, and greetings, dear friends, in the precious name of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I wish to welcome you to this Tuesday edition of the Living Truth radio program, originating from the studios of the Way of Truth Ministries. And this week, we are working our way through one verse. That's right. One verse of Scripture, and that verse of Scripture is Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. And I'm certain that even though we are going to put an entire week into this study, that I'll not be able to exhaust it. I remember years ago, a lady in the church that I pastored at that particular time said, "You know, Pastor Gary, you can get so much out of one verse of Scripture, I can hardly believe it." Well, I said to her, "It's not what I'm getting out of the Scripture or out of a verse of Scripture, but rather it's what that verse teaches us." And sometimes I think that when we are reading and studying the Bible, we skim over things too rapidly. Like this verse that we're dealing with this week, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. Most of us know it quite well. It says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And we read that, and we think about that verse, and we say, "Amen, praise the Lord, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." But we never really stop to think about what the verse is saying. Or at least we seldom do. We don't dig down into it. We don't parse it. We don't break the words apart, as it were. And so, even though we have somewhat of an understanding of what the verse means, there are a lot of golden nuggets that we miss out on because we just rush over it. And you know, that's the same way it is with many of the verses of the Bible. For instance, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We know that verse quite well. But so often we just run over it, read over it quickly, and don't really stop to think what the verse is teaching. Would you agree? Well, keep that in mind when you read familiar verses of Scripture. But this week we are going to be looking at Philippians 1:21 in detail. And there are three things that we see here that I brought out to you at the end of the program yesterday. And that is, number one, Christ as our life is personal, where Paul says, "For to me." Secondly, Christ as our life is present, where Paul says, "For to me is to live is Christ." And then thirdly, Christ as our life is prospective, where Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Today, we're going to begin to look at this first part, and that is the fact that Christ as our life is personal. Every one of us who know Jesus Christ can say, "For to me to live, for to me to live is Christ," and make that very personal. Why is that the case? Well, allow me to share a number of reasons with you today. First of all, Christ personally died for me. And of course, you can put your name in there as well. I can say, "Christ personally died for Gary." You can read it, "Christ personally died for Tom, Dick or Harry, Susie, Sally, Linda," whatever your name might be. But you see, that's the fact. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross of Calvary, sure, he died for the sins of the whole world. But you see, a part of that whole world is you, individually. Stop to think of that for a minute today. Jesus Christ died for you personally. make this relationship that you have with Christ personal, because that's what Christianity is. It's not just a religion, but it is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Remember what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20? He said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You can claim that, even as did the Apostle Paul. Jesus loved you and gave himself for you. And that's why we say Christ as our life is personal, because he personally died for each and every one of us. Secondly, we take into consideration that Jesus Christ personally rose again for me, making my relationship with Jesus Christ personally. If you're saved, you can say, "Jesus Christ rose again from the grave for you." Even if you're not saved, you must recognize that Jesus Christ rose again from the grave for you. But if you want to experience the power of his resurrection, it's important that you personally trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But remember the words of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, where it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Do you see it there? Jesus Christ has risen from the grave, and because of that, we have a lively or a living hope. The fact of the matter is, because Jesus Christ rose again from the grave, you have the living hope, that is, the reality that you will spend eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven. Yes, Jesus died for you. Yes, Jesus rose again for you. But you know something else? As we consider this verse, Jesus Christ personally saved me. And you can say the same thing. Jesus Christ personally saved you. Remember Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, where it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Who is a part of that whosoever? Well, it is you. It is me. You see, salvation didn't come to us in a corporate way. In other words, a number of years ago, I heard a fellow who was preaching what was referred to as corporate salvation. And what he meant by that was this: if you attend and join a local church where the gospel is preached, then because of the fact that you agree with the message that that church is preaching, that when you join that church corporately, you become saved corporately with all of the other believers who are there who also were saved corporately because they joined that church to preach the gospel. Now, you know, that might sound good, but it's wrong. Salvation is not a corporate thing in the sense that everybody gets saved simply because of the fact that they attend or join such and such a church. Salvation is personal. Each individual must personally call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. You see, I am very thankful for the fact that my parents are saved. And I say that because as I am speaking to you now, both of them are still alive. And I'm thankful that they both are saved, that they both have trusted Christ as Savior. I've got grandparents and great-grandparents on both sides who were saved. But you see, I didn't get saved just because of the fact that I've come along, as it were, and that my heritage is made up of those who are born again. No, I personally had to trust Christ as my Savior. And I did that on July the 17th, 1964. And so Christ personally saves each and every one of us. because each and every one of us are a part of that whosoever that shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then we can say that Christ personally lives for me. He lives personally for each and every one of us. Remember the words of Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25? I think you probably know them. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 says this very clearly, and let's thank the Lord for it, where it says, "Wherefore he," that is Christ, "is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Jesus Christ lives eternally and forever for you and for me. And because he lives forever for us, he is making intercession for us in heaven today. He is by his very presence there at the right hand of God's throne, reminding God the Father that we are his redeemed because we've trusted him as our personal Lord and Savior. And then finally, Jesus Christ will personally return for me and for you if you're saved. Remember John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Yes, Christ as our life is personal. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can rejoice in that today. If you've never yet been born again, I would encourage you today to call upon the name of the Lord and ask him to save you. Tomorrow, we'll continue our study of Philippians 1:21. I trust you'll be with us. Until then, keep looking up, for Jesus could come again today. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Gary, for that very practical study from the Bible. What a blessing it is to learn from the pages of Scripture through your clear teaching. Beloved, here at the Way of Truth Ministries, we have a genuine desire to serve you spiritually. If you have a prayer request or desire a copy of the notes or outlines or even a CD of today's program, please contact us. There's no charge for the materials, but we would appreciate a donation of $5 for the notes and $10 for the CD to defray the cost of shipping and handling. Our address is The Way of Truth Ministries, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602. You can reach us by email at wot@wotbm.org. Please visit our website at www.wotbm.org. Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. We're looking forward to being with you on our next Living Truth broadcast. Until then, on behalf of Pastor Gary Dahl, I'm Jim O'Brien saying, God be with you till we meet again.